Welcome to Christian Assembly, a family church. Since 1930, we've been serving the communities of Western Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia with the good news of Jesus Christ. With over 40 years of Bible teaching and ministry experience, Pastor Bill brings faith-filled revelation from God's Word. We believe with you, wherever you are, that God will inspire and change your life through the following teaching. For more information about Christian Assembly, follow us on social media or visit our website at cafamily.net.
Just want to share a little bit tonight about fighting the good fight of faith. Faith is a fight. And in the day in which we live right now, many have departed from the faith and still continue to depart from the faith all the time, all around us. And so I want you to look at 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Before instructing Timothy to flee and to fight the good fight of faith, he pointed out some individuals in the Bible here that basically made shipwreck of their faith or walked away from their faith. Let's look at just a couple real quick. 1 Timothy 1, 19 and 20. Holding faith and a good conscience, with some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Even back then in that time, people made shipwreck of their faith. Look at others. 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And that's talking about slowly, step by step, people walking away. And then also, he mentions about people that left their first faith. Look at here in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. But younger women refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers and also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion for the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. All this stuff going on during that time, and he's making mention of all these things to Timothy, this young pastor, and he tells him to fight this good fight of faith. Well, if faith is a fight, that means there's going to be opposition. If faith is a fight, that means we have people coming against us. We have things coming against us. We need to be aware of and recognize and identify so that we can resist the temptation to do what these others did, which is to walk away from their faith. So there are four charges that he actually gave Timothy here in these two verses, verses 11 and 12. The first thing he said was to flee. Run from as in terror. Get out. It reminded me of Joseph when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. And the Bible says he put on his Nikes and got himself out. He ran away from that. In other words, he cut it off. He didn't give place to it. Reminds me of something that Jesus said, that if your eye offends you, then pluck it out. If your hand offends you, then cut it off. In other words, be proactive when it comes to recognizing, identifying certain things that can be detrimental to your faith and get yourself out. Don't be a part of it. Don't participate in it. And then secondly, he said to follow after certain things, which means to run toward. It means to pursue something. Follow what? Righteousness, holiness, godliness, faith, peace, all those things. He said, pursue these things. And then he said, fight, because you're going to have a fight on your hands. When you endeavor to do something like that, you make a stand, you take your place, you let people know exactly what you're all about. You're serving God, walking with God. You're denying yourself, taking up your cross. You're following Him. Today, you're going to be marked as someone to avoid. And Satan's going to come along and try everything he possibly can to get us to walk away from what we know to be true. And so he says, fight. Fight means to to use effort, use energy to stand against an opposing force that's coming against you. So whatever that force might be. So he tells him, look, fight this good fight of faith. It's going to be a fight. It's not going to be a cakewalk. We are in a fight. Whether it's our lives individually, our families, whether it's our nation, we're in a fight. And God wants us to rise up and take our place and do our part and see to it that we do what is necessary for us to experience the things that Christ died for. And remember, if it's a fight of faith, then faith is what? Faith is a fight with words. It's a fight with words. Jesus taught us that. Whenever an enemy comes against us and tries to, let's say, impose his will upon us by telling us to do whatever, turn these stones into bread, whatever, it is written. It's time to get back to the Word of God and let the devil know we know what it says, and the power of God is found in the Word of God. God's Word is more powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, etc., etc., and we know that. And to take the Word of God and proclaim the Word of God, be vocal about it, be adamant about it, be tenacious about it, and say, this is what God's Word says, and this is what I'm standing for. We see people compromising in our society today, in our culture today, even in Christian, supposedly Christianity, when you're allowing all these things to come within a church. To be honest with you, beloved, the world has changed the church in the day in which we live. The church has not changed the world. And we've got to own up to that and recognize that. It's time to take a stand. It's time to rise up. It's time to stand. And having done all to stand therefore and declare the Word of God to be true. And no matter what persecution may come our way, praise God, we're going to lay hold of the things of God because they belong to us. And that's the fourth thing he said. He said to flee. He said to follow. He said to fight. And then he said to seize or to take hold. Latch on to what belongs to you because of Christ. What he died for us to experience, what he died for us to have, it's up to us no longer to be complacent about things, but to be proactive about things and be headstrong about things, be tenacious about things and say, this is my right as a child of God, and I'm not going to cave in, lose heart, or give up. I'm going to stand against all the opposing forces of darkness and declare the Word of God to be true in my life, and I'm going to experience what Christ died for. Look in the book of Joshua, chapter 18, the first three verses. It's imagine how much the Word of God just dovetails. It's just so, it's such continuity in the Word of God. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh, and they set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. God gave them the land. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes of the 12 now, which had not yet received their inheritance. Notice the word received. He didn't say God didn't give them. He already said God gave you the land. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? He had to stir them up and say, what's the matter with you people? He gave you the land. It belongs to you. He fought for you. He defended you. He got you to the promised land. You divided up the land. These seven tribes have yet to receive what God has given them. And the same thing is true with everyone. Christ has already died for us. He rose again from the dead for us. He obtained eternal redemption for us and for the whole world. And those that are lost are those who don't receive what Christ has already done for them. And as believers, we could say the same thing. It's already a done deal. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What more could he give us if he gave us all things? He's able to do it for us exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that's where? At work in us. He gave it to us already. It belongs to us. It's time to rise up to a higher place of revelation and understanding of the fact that if we don't go, like he said, and receive what belongs to us, we'll be spinning our wheels trying to receive what we already have. He's already given it to us. It belongs to us. It's our responsibility to fight this good fight of faith and declare it to be ours, to stake our claim. Be bulldog in your tenacity. This is mine. It belongs to me, whether it's my healing, my salvation, whatever. And let me just go a step further. It might be the salvation of your loved one. It might be bringing your prodigal son back to the Lord or daughter back to the Lord, whatever it might be. God wants us to get bold and tenacious and declare it and proclaim it. It's already done. God wants us to make a highway for him to move in a profound way in these people's lives. I'll never forget the testimony of Norval Hayes, when his daughter walked away from God. She walked away from God, wasn't serving God, even though she knew God, got involved in drugs, alcohol, and the whole bit. Yeah, a believer could do that, turn away and walk away and just do your own thing, live the way you want to live, act the way you want to act, behave the way you want to behave. It's exactly what she did. He complained about it constantly, screamed at her constantly. What are you doing? Actually said, you're going to destroy my ministry. You're going to destroy my work. What's the matter with you? So upset with her. And finally, one day, the Lord spoke to his heart. He cried out to her and said, God, what are we going to do here? And he said to him, and this was his responsibility, listen to how you're talking. Listen to what you're saying. You need to practice what you preach. It's easy to preach it. It's another thing to practice it. He said, Lord, that's a low blow. What do you mean? What are you talking about? He said, listen to yourself. Every time she comes home, all you do is complain. Every time she comes home, all you do is holler. Why don't you practice what you preach? He said, from that moment on, it was a life changer for him. I tell you, when God speaks, it pays to listen. She walked inside that door, drunk one night, on dope one night, whatever she was doing, like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And he looked at her and just said, honey, welcome home. I love you. Thank God for your life. Come on in. Just go ahead. And she goes into her bedroom. She goes to bed. He's on. She can hear him on his knees. Thank you for my daughter, Zona. Thank you for her life. Thank you for delivering her. I see her walking with you. I see her serving you. I see her in church. I see her. And he just declared over and over and over and over the same truth. He changed his whole demeanor, his whole attitude. And now he wants to possess the land. And you know what? God honored that. Because one day she came home the same way. And you know how she got sobered up that night? He's there praying that way in the bedroom, thanking God for her deliverance and all that. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared at the foot of her bed, just looked her eyeball to eyeball. She sobered up in a heartbeat. She was awakened from that slumber and sleep. She got herself together. She went off to Bible school. She got involved in the ministry, and the rest is history. She served God with her life. But you kind of wonder, what if the father didn't do what he did? What could have happened to that girl? Beloved, we're in a fight. We're in a warfare. It's a spiritual battle that we're in. And it's easy to do what? To give up, to faint, lose heart, etc. Now, some of the enemies of our faith, let's quickly go through this. Proverbs 16:18, fight against pride. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. If you recall, go all the way back to Eve and Adam and Eve, go back to Lucifer himself, go back to Nebuchadnezzar. Pride is a destructive thing. Who are we to think we're above anybody on the planet? We're all the same. We go through same situations, same difficulties, same challenges. There's no room for pride. And Nebuchadnezzar found that out in a heartbeat. He found himself where? In the woods with the animals. Secondly, worldly lust. First John chapter 2. For all that's in the world that challenges us, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, that the pride of life is not of God, of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world's going to pass away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Here's another challenge, a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand against this. Stand against the evils of this world, the evils of this age. He delivered us from the evils of this age. He gives the power to walk free from the evils of this age. We've got to recognize that. We've got to know that and fight the good fight of faith. Because when the world caves in all around us, it's easy to become victimized by it and kind of just cave in, lose heart, give up, and faint. But he said, no, get tenacious in your faith. Rise up in a stronger way. Declare what the Word of God says. I've been delivered from these powerful forces because a greater one lives in me, not in the world. Look at the next one, the flesh itself. There's a warfare that we're in. This I say, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, or wars against it, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to one to the other, so that you can't do the things that you would do. So once again, there is a fight on our hands. Are we going to yield to the flesh, or are we going to yield to the Spirit? We have the decision to make. It's up to us. But he said, fight, stand firm, flee those things, follow after the right things, and fight, and then lay a hold what belongs to you. He'll ignite within us a holy fire, praise God, that sets us ablaze and burns within our bones, that we could rise up to a higher place, that we could recognize the fact that all this has been defeated by Jesus. What good is it to know that it's all been defeated by him if we don't enforce it? He said, in the world, you're going to have what? Tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world, and in me, you can do all things. Our focus and attention needs to be on what he's accomplished, what he's achieved, and then you know what? Take our place, take our stand, rise up, use our faith, and start declaring it to be true in our lives. Not just something I intellectually know, but something I'm embracing, I'm experiencing in my life as a result of my faith. Then what about the mind, the thoughts that come to the mind? You talk about challenges, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God that are pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What a challenging section of Scripture. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Number one, I need to know the knowledge of God. I need to have the knowledge of God, the revelation of what has already been acquired for us by Christ. And I need to know how to exalt God's word above that situation. And is it a challenge? You know that it is. When your body says something different, when your soul says something different, cast down the thoughts and the imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Would you not love to get a big old bullhorn and let people know, if you don't know your identity, let me tell you something right here. You can find it right here in the pages of this Holy Writ, in the Bible, the Word of the living God. Start saying you are what the Bible says you are, what the Word of God says you are. Start saying that you are what God made you to be, praise God, and you'll find out, you'll know who you are. You'll know your gender. You'll know your identity. You will know what God's plan and purpose and will is for your life. Start embracing it. Start declaring it, proclaiming it. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't cave. What we've done in society, in our culture, we've caved into it. And what are we doing? We're letting the people experience it. We're actually endorsing it. Oh, yeah, you must be different then. No, you're not different. You're being challenged by the devil. Cast down that thought and imagination. You are a girl. You are a boy. Period. And if you think otherwise, start thinking in line with the Word of God. Parents need to teach their children these truths, praise God, so they don't grow up not knowing their identity, not knowing who they are. Cast down guilt. Cast down condemnation. Cast down inferiority. You talk about how many people in the body of Christ, they feel inferior. They're full of sin consciousness, guilt, and condemnation. Why? Because we got flesh and we do things that are wrong, right? We know that. But guess what? The blood has been shed for every single one of us. All we've got to do is confess our faults, confess our sins, our failures, and our shortcomings. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. And when the devil says this, that, or the other thing, I'm not doing penance anymore. I did that long enough. Praise God. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than penance. It's not by my works. It's by his work. And I thank God that it's under the blood, never to be dragged up again. Right? Oh, thank God. Whether it's inferiority, all others are better than I am. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Nobody's better than him. And he lives in you. You're filled with the fullness of Almighty God. We're all equal. We have the same redemption. We have the same Father. We have the same covenant. We have the same family rights and privileges. Every single one of us, we've got all things equal, praise God. Oh, thank God. People, ready for this one? People. We've got to, you talk about enemies to our faith, sometimes people get involved. Are you around people ever? Look at Numbers 55. If you fail to drive out the people who live in the land, those who remain will be like splinters in your eyes and thorns in your sides. They'll harass you in the land where you live. How true is that? Right? Doesn't matter where you go. You're going to have all kinds of opposition everywhere you go. Whether it's politics, whether it's religion or whatever, you're going to have all kinds of opposing forces coming against you. I'm telling you, when you choose to step up and step out and live for Christ, you've got a new way of living. You've got a new life divine. But all those around you don't want to hear it. They're not happy for you. They come against you. They don't want to hear what you have to say, especially in our culture today. They want you to embrace what they believe. They believe in anarchy. You are really a god to yourself, humanism. Whatever you say, that's what goes. Oh, praise God, I'll tell you what. Leave that at the foot of the cross. Embrace what he says, because it's what he says that goes. Glory to God. People, we need to avoid strife, jealousy, envy, division, contentions, and all those kinds of things will stir up and rise up. Matter of fact, Satan will hold you captive at his will when you get into strife, division, and all that. We got to stand against unbelief. We got to stand against deception, his greatest tool that he uses. To deceive means to present as truth what is a lie. I'm telling you what, I heard someone on the radio just the other day, and I really like his ministry. I love his teaching in certain areas. But as he was on, and I'm listening, I'm thinking, he's not going there. Is he going there? And I found out, yeah, he is. He said, you know you believe in the sovereignty of God. Yeah, I believe in the sovereignty of God. But I also believe that God in his sovereignty made a covenant that he can't break. Can you understand that? He said, so you may not understand why the plane crashed and half your family's dead. But all things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. I wanted to vomit, to be honest with you. And if you don't believe that, he said, you've got to believe that he's sovereign. He said, who do you think runs the world? You think devil does? You think you do? God does. And everything that happens is in his control. He's got all things working together. Did you just hear what happened to this three-year-old? This three-year-old little boy in near Cleveland, Ohio, Olmsted, Ohio. And this woman comes running out while they're putting the groceries away. I don't know if the child was in the car or in the buggy. And stabbed the little boy to death. And stabbed the mother also. Went walking down the street with a knife in her hand. Police picked her up. It was like, it was nothing to her. You telling me that was God having everything under control? In other words, we leave the devil out of the equation. People are messed up. You don't do that to a three-year-old toddler unless you're messed up. So there's something wrong with that woman, I guarantee you. But to him, to hear him say something like that, to deceive people into thinking that that's true, that's not the truth. God is not in control of everything that happens on the planet. He is not for tornadoes. He's not for hurricanes. He is not for earthquakes. He is not for planes crashing. He's not for rape. He's not for murder. He's not for any of that stuff. He's not even for people. He's not even for people not paying their tithes. Right? He can't control you. If you don't want him to, he won't. How about this one? I surrender all. Well, why? If he's controlling you, you don't have to. Isn't he sovereign? Can he control you? Can he make you? No, he doesn't do that. I better get off my bandwagon here. And then here's another one. The devil. Anybody know about the devil? 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verses 6 through 9. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You realize it's a choice for us to humble ourselves? Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Be sober, alert, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So, in other words, any person that comes to Christ is going to be attacked by the devil. He is looking for a way, a loophole into your life, and if he knows your weakness, he's going to attack your weakness. It's up to us to do what? Be sober, be vigilant, be ready, be prepared, because we know the enemy's coming. If you use your faith for anything, he's going to come to undermine it. If you're believing God for your child to come back, he's going to undermine it. Whatever it might be, whatever you're believing God for, he will try to undermine it because he does not want you to be successful in using your faith to accomplish the purpose of God in your life. He doesn't want that. So what are we supposed to do with him? Resist him with our faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Resist him. And then when it comes to the temptation to quit, to give up, to faint, to lose heart, to throw in the towel. Anybody been there ever once or twice in your life? Anybody? We've all been there at one time or another, right? Sure. And then you find yourself standing and wondering, what am I doing? Why am I still standing here? Well, it's by the grace of Almighty God. And what he wants us to do is to rise up and say, okay, it's easy to quit. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. Throw in the towel, faint, lose heart, quit. But he said, no, I'd rather you wait upon me, because they wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll rise up with wings as eagles, and they'll run and not weary, and they'll walk and not faint. Even the young men faint and lose heart. But he said, but if you wait upon me, there's the key right there. If you wait upon me, you'll rise up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not weary. You'll walk and not faint. You'll reap in due season if you faint not. So the conclusion is that God has called us to stand up and fight and to take our place and do our part. We believe God for a holy fire to fall and a wonderful revival. We're hearing this all around in Christian circles today, that this being the last of the last days, we're looking for a mighty revival, maybe a last days revival, maybe an end times revival. So God's need people to rise up to the challenge. Because you know what a revival is? A revival is when the fire of God falls in such a profound way that sinners are cut to the quick, to the core of their being. When they had the Welsh revival, the power of God, the fire of God fell in such a powerful, dynamic way. People, grown men that were athletes, on their faces, crying out with tears before God, crying out, I don't want to go to hell. It was as if they had a revelation of hell right there during those times. See, God wants us again, and I'm part of this, to preach messages that don't just tickle our ears, okay? And that's why you're not going to hear me back off of a message, especially at a funeral or something like that. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. And if you're not saved, you're not going to make heaven. You're going to spend your time in eternity in the lake of fire. And they need to hear that. And that's our lane. No matter what you are, who you are, as a believer, as a layperson, behind a pulpit, it's the truth that makes people free. Amen? Praise God. So Paul said, concerning his life, he fought a good fight. Right? That was discipline. He fought a good fight. He finished his course. That's devotion. He was devoted to do what God called him to do, and nothing could sway him otherwise. And he kept the faith. He kept the faith. And that's called doctrinal. Doctrinal. He kept the faith. You know what? What we believe and embrace is so important. I will believe to the day I died that he bore my sickness and carried my pains, and by his stripes I was healed. And if this body of mine doesn't want to line up with that because it's rebellious and all that sort of thing, I will continue to tell it to the day I die. He bore my sickness, he carried my pains, and buddy, with his stripes you were healed. What about you? Amen. God wants us to take his word to heart and to let him know, no matter what we see, hear, feel, taste, or smell, your word is exalted above it all. It has a higher place of authority in my life than anything else. And so I will stand for truth. I will walk in truth. I will declare the truth, the higher truth of your word above any lower truth in the natural realm in which I live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what God wants from all of us. Fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Our power, the word, and praise and worship. Oh, hallelujah.